show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Tremati here with you for the next hour. Dom's still wearing his big old green headphones, flexing on all of us. We are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. You can text in 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Surely the text box is going to be calm and rational today, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Psych.
Right? Ben is here as well, by
the way. You know what's funny? This is an audio medium, and he's talking about my big green headphones. People can't see me.
No, we cannot see you very well. Your microphone might be a little bit unplugged, by the way. I'll give you time to figure that out. Do I sound fine, Ben?
You sound fantastic.
Okay.
And that's what matters.
That's all that matters.
All right.
That is all that matters. But a lot to get into. And the reason I said the green headphones is because it is an audio format. I got to provide the context. Anyway.
Nobody knew I was wearing headphones in the first place.
Fair enough. Dunbar Lumber text line. Get those texts in. We will talk about whatever you would like to talk about here on the People Show. Before we hand you off to Canuck Central, we got a lot to get into, so we will start with the tea.
How about those Canucks, eh?
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
So the Canucks,
tough game last.
Canucks play tonight. In case you're wondering, the Canucks play tonight. They can get off. It's a rebound opportunity, is what we'll say.
Yeah.
So what's the tea?
The Canucks get embarrassed by the Vegas Golden Knights last night.
Yeah, so 6-3 in Vegas, not an ideal outcome.
No.
5-1 early, and just coming off the start, it was bad. I look at every player on the team, and I just don't know if there's really anyone aside from Quinn Hughes, I would say, who I would say had a good game. And I think a lot of players individually had a bad game. And there are guys you can point to. Ian Cole, I think, man, he's starting to lose a lot of steam as the season goes on.
Yeah.
And I think he's been a very steady force on the back end, but it's not really working out to the same level lately as we saw earlier in the year, and especially against the tough competition like the Vegas Golden Knights. Cole has not been what we saw earlier in the year. I think Carson Soucy had a bad night as well, and I've been a big defender of him. Soucy, especially on, I believe it was, I forget what goal it was, but there was a goal that I would put almost entirely on him. I think it was the 6-3 goal, Vegas coming back the other way, 2-on-1 rush that was kind of caused by Soucy trying to pinch. And then Arshdeep Bains, like, I love the story. I love the guy. He did not have a good game yesterday as well. And then Casey DeSmith, look, I'm not going to put it all on him, but I think if Thatcher Demko was a net.
There were a couple goals that were just horrendous.
Yeah, if Thatcher Demko was a net, I think things may have gone differently for the team yesterday. Or at least they would have a better shot, is what I'll put it at. Not a banner game yesterday. And you'll notice there's a name that I mentioned off, or I didn't mention. He was off that list. Elias Pettersson. And
defend him.
We've talked about him a lot.
Big Elias Pettersson, Stan.
I think he was fine last night. He factored in on the first two Canucks goals. Mm. Didn't get a point, but he pretty much created the play that led to the Hoglander goal. He was a screen in front, a very good screen in front of Thompson on the second goal. And realistically, if we're looking at a 6-3 loss for the Canucks, I don't know how we put that on Elias Pettersson. I put that more on team defense and a bit of goaltending last night.
Yeah, certainly. Absolutely. The thing that really bothered me last night, it wasn't even Elias Pettersson. Look, I'll be the first to raise my hand. I've been critical of Pettersson early days, mm-hmm. as the Brits say. I think he needs to raise his standard of play to the level of which we're used to seeing him play, and he hasn't been anywhere near that. However, that wasn't the problem last night. And the thing that bothered me the most is Nils Höglander scored the 2-1 goal 20 seconds later, Jack Eichel scores it to make it 3-1, restores the two-goal lead. Absolutely soul-crushing.
It was the lack of composure, I think.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen, like, the thing about the Canucks in this last month.
But it happened again.
Yes, on the 6-3 goal.
Yeah.
So
Canucks make it 5-3, 20 seconds later. I'm sorry, 24 seconds later, Brett Howden comes down and makes it 6-3.
And those are backbreaking goals.
Yeah.
Like, when you, especially the 6-3 one, the last one, when you've kind of fought back, you've cut a four-goal deficit to two, you still have a lot of the third period left. And then 24 seconds, whatever it was, you give up a goal the other way. Those are backbreaking goals. Those are, like, in the playoffs, those are crazy momentum shifting goals that you're never going to recover from. No, for the most part.
Exactly. But here's the thing that bothers me the most about them. Against a team like the Ducks, let's say you're taking the foot off the pedal, it's a night off, you're not taking the team you're playing seriously. That happens. Okay, I get it. Why aren't you taking the Vegas Golden Knights seriously?
I think they were. I just think Vegas...
Twice in one game, and you're going to tell me they were taking that team serious?
I think they were taking the team seriously, but I think Vegas was on another level. And this is one thing... So when we talk about concerns...
They felt sleepy last night.
Yeah, I agree. When you talk, especially in the first period, like, you're giving up that many goals in a period
to
start.
That's absolutely tough. Ridiculous.
But when we talk about concerns and where the Canucks are at right now in terms of trying to get ready for the playoffs and, like, hey, you're running out of runway to look like a legitimate team. You compare that to the Vegas Golden Knights, who essentially are just, like, turning it on at the right time. I believe in their last 10 games, 7-2-1. They've won 3 in a row. Last night, like, and from a Canucks fan's point of view, you can kind of compare it to Vegas, because we've seen them at different stages of the year. And the last time the Canucks played Vegas before last night would have been, just under a month ago. Vancouver beat them, and Vegas did not look nearly as
dominant
but as now they did yesterday. And now they do, because
heading
they're turning
the
it
playoffs,
on
yeah.
at the right time. And I don't know if the Canucks can do that, because they're just running out of time to really get it going. And that brings it back to the Elias Pettersson conversation as well. Is like, hey, I've long had few worries about what Elias Pettersson can be long term. I think he's still an A1 player in this league. Mm-hmm. He can be a franchise player. I'm starting to worry about him turning it on for the playoffs at this point. And it took me a while to get there, because realistically, I believe that the talent would come through. But when you've gotten to this point in the season, you're running out of time, man. And it's really difficult, not only for an individual player to turn it on at this point of the season, but for the team to turn it on. We're going to have to see a lot when they play the difficult competition. And realistically, they only have like three playoff caliber, or four, I guess. But I always kind of discount the last game of the season.
Because things could be locked up.
Yeah, things can be different. Yeah. But you play LA again, you play Vegas again, you play Edmonton again.
Yeah.
There's a lot we need to see from this team in those three games. I don't know if we can see enough from them in those three games to be fully confident going into the postseason. But if they play like they played last night in those three games, I don't care who they play in the first round. They're not going far.
The thing that bothers me is... What game are we on? 70?
They have played 75
four,
games.
Five.
So tonight is game 76.
We have played 75 games, and Elias Pettersson still doesn't have, like, a stable line.
Yes. And that's something. So when we talked to Yannick Hansen yesterday, I was like, hey, well, like, what are you concerned about with Elias Pettersson? What's going on with him? Are you concerned? And the first thing that he said, and the main thing that he said, were the line mates.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you kind of missed the chance to give him legitimate line mates. And I think Hoglander, look, he can be, ideally, I think he would be a third guy on that line. And in a very ideal world, he'd probably still be in your bottom six, like, running a line and doing that to a great extent. Like, he would be a key fixture in your bottom six. But they missed the boat on getting Elias Pettersson consistent line mates. And hey, look, we can make the argument. I know a lot of people say if he's getting paid that much money that he shouldn't need consistent line mates. He should be able to produce on his own. but I know Canucks talks about it often, and it should be more of a topic in this market, is Nathan MacKinnon has Mikko Rantanen, another very, very elite player. They always play together. Connor McDavid sometimes plays with Draisaitl, plays with Nugent Hopkins. They always have, or Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman, I think, is better than every winger on the Canucks right now. They always have an elite player to play with. And being an elite player on your own can only go so far. And I feel like we've seen that length for Elias Pettersson. He's still putting up like a lot of points over the course of the season, but would he be putting up more with a better winger, namely someone like Jake Guentzel? 100%. And it was obviously a big topic with Quinn Hughes as well. And that's why they addressed it. They went and got Filip Hronek. And we've seen what it's done for Quinn Hughes. It's put him up to another level. He is a Norris-caliber defenseman, probably going to win it this year. And Hronek, for all we can say about, hey, what are they going to pay him, whatever, Hronek has been a big part in Hughes elevating his game as well. I think the Canucks, not to look too far ahead, but this offseason, that has to be priority number one. I don't think Lekker or Mackey is ready for that yet before people start texting that in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. You don't want to have to put him in that position too early. But priority number one for the Canucks, especially looking at how they've played against elite competition in the NHL, they clearly need another top six forward, and it needs to be a guy who can consistently play with Elias Pettersson and complement him well. Someone like Andre Kuzmenko, who the coach actually trusts, would be ideal.
Let's move on to some other bits of tea. Nikita Zadorov will escape further discipline after he got a 5-minute major in game misconduct for boarding last night. What'd you think of the hit?
I thought it was fair. It was a fair call. You know, like when you're, the way I always view it is look at it from the other fan's perspective.
Yeah.
And so I look back at the Josh Manson on JT Miller hit like from everyone, a few weeks ago, like everyone did on Twitter yesterday. That should have been a game misconduct. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. And if I think that should have been a game misconduct, then I think last night's Zadorov hit on Howden should have been a game misconduct as well. And so I think it was a fair call. I don't think he needed further discipline, so I think they got this right. I do wonder, like, a lot of it feels reactionary to a point where if a player gets hurt or stays down, that's when a bigger penalty is given out. And last night that didn't really happen. Like Howden got back up. So I wonder if refs are hopefully getting better at dealing with that and not resorting to, oh, this player is down on the ice, I should call a major. And that's the bigger difference I want to see, is refs just being more consistent with that call. And I think it was a fair call yesterday.
The Edmonton Oilers can really boost their division win percentage if they can win tonight. And the Canucks lose to the Arizona Coyotes, according to Drance and Dom's model. Evil Dom, that is.
Evil Dom. Yeah, it's like community. Evil Abed. Good Abed. Yeah, you're good, Dom.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Approximately 75% if the Oilers win tonight and the Canucks lose. That's the percentage chance they have of winning the division, according to the model. But as we spoke in the prep lounge, and as Sat mentioned on Canucks Central, the Canucks, if they go 4-3,
if the Canucks the go
Oilers
4-3,
still have to go 8-1.
The math is really, really hard for the Oilers, yeah, especially if one of those Canucks wins is against Edmonton. That being said, if Edmonton wins tonight and the Canucks lose, and look, the Canucks are playing
4-2.
The Canucks are playing the Coyotes. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't lose this game. I know Arizona's had a bit of a hot stretch here recently.
They said that against the Ducks, and they didn't look that good against the Ducks
either.
They still beat the Ducks, but barely.
But, yeah, if the Canucks lose tonight, Edmonton wins, the Oilers control their own destiny because they would have a game in hand, and they would be playing the Canucks in a week and a half.
Yeah.
Realistically, that's still, like, the math is still so difficult with the limited runway that both teams have. And so that's why I would say, like, I'm not, what's your worryometer for the Oilers catching?
It's a reach deep saying,
right?
I hope you know.
I know, I do know.
I'm at like a 7.
So
they're nipping at the heels. Enough, worrying enough, Josh, that you're thinking about it. worrying enough that you go into tonight's game going, oof, they really have to win, because if they don't,
Edmonton's catching them.
Well, they're getting one step closer.
Yeah. Edmonton plays Dallas tonight.
Here's the thing, right?
It's not a layup by any means.
This whole conversation around Edmonton potentially catching the Canucks is a byproduct of how poorly the Canucks have done compared to the Edmonton Oilers. Like, the Canucks record
obviously
in the same...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how math works.
Okay. You don't have to be condescending, but like...
Yes.
It kind of sucks as a fan.
Well, of course.
Like, yeah.
It sucks that we're here.
We would rather watch the Canucks right now be, hey, like head and shoulders above the Oilers.
Yeah.
Not even in question. For sure.
We now find ourselves in a situation where this is a real thing.
Because the Oilers are a very good team.
And the Canucks have been incredibly mediocre.
Since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But that's also like the games before the All-Star break and still matter.
And well, here's the thing. It's like the Oilers have been so good.
Mm-hmm. The thing I'm worried about with the Oilers,
that in itself, Josh, heading into the playoffs, you're thinking like, okay, as a fan, for example, you're thinking, okay, if the Canucks win the division, that's good. They're heading into the playoffs. They'll play the first wild card team. That's great. You get a good first matchup, good in air quotes, because let's be honest, whoever they face in the first round, it's not going to be a layup, regardless.
Never is.
The Canucks aren't a true division winner on play and talent.
Oh,
in the last few months.
Well, in the last few months, yeah. But it's like the whole season.
Right.
We see division winners win without being the best
Canucks
team.
The Canucks is the Canucks that are heading into the playoffs aren't the Canucks that started the year.
Sure.
And so you have to, as a fan, head into the playoffs thinking to yourself, we're not the Canucks that won the division. We're the Canucks that are like just walking into the playoffs.
So this is part of kind of a bigger conversation that I kind of want to get into.
And Edmonton is just steamrolling their way into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. So this is part of a bigger conversation that I think is better served for the other side of the break.
Sure. Okay, we'll move on.
But no, what I do want to say is what I would worry about with Edmonton is they play three more back-to-backs before the end of the season. They play back-to-back this weekend, next weekend, and to end the year.
See, I don't think that takes away from their pace of play and how hot they are.
It's going to matter when they get to the playoffs, though, and you've played so many games in April already, in March. Like, they've played so many games to end the season.
But they also have the luxury of being able to take nights off.
I don't think they can anymore because they're trying to catch the Canucks.
They need to.
They don't need to.
Exactly.
But they're trying to. So I don't think they're taking any nights off.
Okay, but in terms of importance, if you were running the Edmonton Oilers, what's more important to you? Catching the Canucks for first in the Pacific or going into the playoffs healthy, rested, and fully, you know, able? It's option B.
Sure.
So you're going to play your games, the back-to-back games, with that in mind. You're not going to risk injury. You're not going to risk overplaying guys just because you want to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a tough matchup either way. And if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you feel good. You feel like you could take anybody right now. Everyone's probably scared of you instead of the other way around.
Yeah, but also, like, we got to think about how much do they prioritize not playing against Vegas?
And how much do they prioritize having home ice?
Mm-hmm.
I think they want... First of all, I think they want to beat Vegas. I think they have that chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, but no team wants to play them in the first round.
Like, John wants to play Vegas in the first round.
Yeah. You don't want to play Vegas in the first round.
It's a crazy team.
No team wants to play Vegas in the first round.
I would rather play Vegas in the first round when Hurdle hasn't, you know, really molded with his team 100% yet. And you possibly don't have to face Mark Stone with a lacerated spleen rather than maybe having to face him in the second round because maybe he comes back.
But his spleen is probably not going to be 100%.
We don't know.
He's
not
going to be in game shape. Yeah.
He's still Mark Stone.
So 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Ian, like the second and third versus Vegas last night, I do think like some score effects play into that. But I will say the Canucks, and I know Jason Buchla talked about this as well, I kind of thought the Canucks were going to mount a comeback and then, hey, 6-3 goal happened and those hopes went away very quickly. Tones, I disagree. Avoid Vegas at all costs. That's where I'm at. And I think every team is doing their best to try to avoid the Vegas goal, especially because not only like the argument we were making was like, hey, Nashville is really, really hot. You don't want to play against them going into the playoffs because they're going to be on a roll. Vegas is the team you want to play because they're stumbling and whatever.
You got to play them at some point.
But now,
right?
Vegas is
why are you
hot
scared?
And no longer stumbling. Because, like, why would I want to play the more difficult team early when I would rather Edmonton and Vegas play each other so that one of the difficult teams exactly. is out of the playoffs?
So why not try to if
they're all
play
gonna be
one
difficult.
Team instead of two?
They're all going to be difficult.
No, there's levels to this, Dom.
I don't think there is.
Well, there's levels to this from Nashville.
You
to
don't think there is?
No, because you're gonna have to face Edmonton or Vegas in the second round anyway, mm-hmm. so it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter because you
winning
want to get to the second round.
Winning a round means nothing.
Yes, it does.
It's
oh,
it
my
doesn't.
Goodness.
Oh, my
God.
No, it doesn't. No, you win the cup or it doesn't matter.
Dom.
If you're really... No, sorry. You're not making the playoffs to win a round.
Yes, you... If you're a team that hasn't made the playoffs in a few years and hasn't had a home
that's
playoff
game. That's not the mentality. If
nine
the Canucks
years?
Really are going into the playoffs thinking, oh, let's just win a round, that is such a loser mentality. That's
Dom,
not the
Dom,
way to
that,
think.
Dom, hold on a minute.
And that's fans not, shouldn't think that way either.
Stop interrupting for a second.
Go ahead.
The goal, of course, is to win the Stanley Cup. That is the team's goal. That is going to be every player's goal, the coach's goal, management's goal, ownership's goal. But from a holistic perspective, when we take a step back here, of course, winning one round is more successful than just winning nothing.
Yeah, obviously, but that's not the goal.
So it doesn't mean it's the goal, but it means it's a better result. So if you can have a situation where you play a team that allows you to win a round, which gets you closer to the end result of winning the Stanley Cup, then you take that path. Just because you have to go through someone doesn't mean you need to do it right away.
Mm-hmm. And this one from Tones, let the other two teams beat the crap out of each other and see how it goes. Because, hey, if you play Vegas or Edmonton in the second round, you're playing a beat-up version of those teams compared to the first round.
I'm getting backed up in the inbox by three or four different texters saying there's no backdoor. You have to beat the best to be the best. All or nothing. The only way to play sports at any level.
You got to beat them at some point.
Yeah, so beat them in the first round.
Why don't you win the first round and get some momentum? You're talking about walking into the playoffs?
Hold on. Just to use your own argument against you, Ben, you go in the first round and you beat Vegas in the first round, there isn't a single team you don't think you can't beat.
You don't think that if the Canucks win a round and get that momentum and get the city behind them, they have a better chance to beat Vegas than, to use your words, walking into the playoffs?
Yeah. Because I think if you walk into the playoffs and then you beat a Nashville, you still have to face an Edmonton or a Vegas. But if you walk into the playoffs...
But you have some momentum and you have some confidence.
But think about the momentum you'd have if you beat Vegas.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. So Hans makes the point that I kind of want to make. Did someone just say winning one round means nothing to the Canucks? The fan base will be disappointed losing in the first round, but can certainly stomach round two defeat. So this is my point. Is players, management, ownership, like Ben kind of mentioned, they should all be focused on all or nothing. Doesn't matter who you play. Doesn't matter what happens. You need to win. You're in the playoffs to win the cup. And that's where I agree with you. But from a fan's point of view, from media's point of view, are we going to be disappointed if the Canucks lose in the second round to an Edmonton Oilers team or a Vegas Golden Knights team? No, probably not. But if they lose in the first round, I think we'll all be pretty disappointed.
No.
Because they have shown, if you win the division, you should win a round. I am fully and there's value in that. Because you haven't gone to the playoffs, you haven't won a legitimate playoff round.
It's a mirage.
In over
Josh.
A decade.
Winning the division is a mirage.
Sure.
It's a nice accomplishment. I think they should focus on it. I still think that should be their goal currently before they get into the playoffs. You need something to play for. But just because you won the division, I don't think you then need to win a round to prove as some kind of accomplishment. If you go into the playoffs and you face Vegas in the first round or the second round and lose, it's going to feel the same. Should feel the same.
Unsigned text. Ben is 100% correct.
Good, Ben.
Good job, Ben.
I'm glad you have support.
Good job, Ben.
My new favorite person.
I'm glad.
What I will say is it'll be disappointing whenever they lose, but a week or two later, you can look back and be like, hey, you know what? Winning a round is a good first step for this core that hasn't won a playoff round.
Bubble.
Well, I'm not even going to count the bubble.
Why not?
Because, man, things were weird there. Whatever.
St. Louis. Still playoff hockey.
Patrick Alvin doesn't count the bubble. This team has not won a playoff round outside of the bubble. I'll give you the bubble. Since, it's been over a decade, man. Winning a playoff round will be valuable for this team. moving forward. If they can do it, they have to do it. And we'll see how it all goes.
My closing take on this, Josh, if you get beat by the Vegas Golden Knights, the defending Stanley Cup champions, whether it's in round one or round two, that is a learning lesson. It doesn't matter when it comes. And sure, winning a round, as nice as it is, shouldn't matter if you don't win the cup.
And I think it does. I think it does.
What matters
for
is
this
getting
team
to a conference final and a cup final. That's it.
I think you gotta raise
the standard and raise your bar of what excellence and like what accomplishments are.
Here's what I'll say is, for some teams in the league, winning a round doesn't matter. Edmonton Oilers, for example, if they just win a round, that's not enough. For the Canucks, with where they are right now, winning a round is a step to further things and continuing to improve. And I think there is value in that, is all I'm trying to get
at. You can learn just as much losing to a defending cup champion than you can winning against Nashville.
It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Tremati. By the way, so we're talking about playoffs. The Vancouver Canucks obviously go into the playoffs. We'll see who they play. But right now, the Vancouver Giants are in the playoffs, and series tied at one. Game three going tonight at the LEC. And we'll leave you with the Giants report from Nathan Canter.
The Vancouver Giants accomplished what they needed to on the road to open their best of seven series with the Everett Silvertips, earning a split. The six-seeded Giants snatched a 6-4 win in Game 1 this past Friday, scoring four first-period goals, including three on the power play, to chase goaltender Tyler Palmer. Cameron Schmidt had a pair of tallies, including one 43 seconds into his first-ever playoff game, while Kyron Gronick and Ty Haliburta also scored their first playoff goals. Logan Hammett and Sam Honzik added empty netters. Assistant coach Adam Maglio says getting that first win and earning a split on the road was huge, but the team has moved on with their focus now on Game 3 tonight.
I think the first one was huge. I think it's extremely hard building to play in a lively crowd. We've talked about it all series. A team that comes at you really hard, especially on their home ice. So it was good to get a split, but we got to move on here. It's a new game.
And with the series tied 1-1, things now shift to a building where the G-men were incredibly successful in the second half of the season, the Langley Event Center, where they went 12-2-1 in 2024. In fact, Vancouver beat Everett at the LEC in the only meeting of the second half, winning 4-3 on February 3rd when Sam Honzik had the game-winning goal and Brett Merwald made 34 saves. Maglio says the team can't wait to play in front of their home fans tonight and on Friday for Game 4.
Oh, I think it's going to be fantastic. Our guys really feed off our crowds here. They've been outstanding all year long. So it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a new test for us because it is playoff hockey now, not regular season. But it's always great playing on your home ice and in front of your own fans.
With only 44 shots on goal in the first two games combined, forward Ty Haliburta adds that the focus for tonight is simple, getting more pucks on net. Giants will look to do that tonight with a 7 o'clock puck drop. Doors will open at 5:30. Friday's game also goes at 7 p.m. That is Game 4. You can get your tickets to either game at vancouvergiants.com/tickets. Please note, for tonight's game only, there's also a special group offer where you can get a ticket and free drink voucher for just $20 each, taxes in, when booking a group of 20 or more. Call 604-4GIANTS to learn more about this special offer. For your Giants report, I'm Nathan King. We'll be right back.